On this Wednesday afternoon, good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Yachin Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
What's up, Burnsy?
Oh, the Arizona Cardinals, from their official Twitter account 30 minutes ago, tweeted out a photograph. On the left, there's Steve Keim. He's wearing a black polo shirt. In the middle, there's Michael Bidwell. He's in a white shirt with a yellow tie. And on the right, there's Cliff Kingsbury in a black long-sleeve Arizona Cardinals t-shirt.
Woo.
The calm before the storm.
Is that what it's called?
Is how the tweet is slugged as the three men are sitting around.
The three best friends that anybody ever had. The three amigos.
Presumably putting hay in the barn, so to speak. Wasn't that the phrase that Cliff Kingsbury used yesterday? Oh, the hay's not quite
in
the barn yet.
You don't call them the three blind mice. We're okay.
I don't know.
Third-eyed blind. You don't want to call them that either.
I don't know if you'd want to call them the three amigos.
Musketeers? I'll go with the three musketeers.
The three amigos were kind of clueless.
Three amigos. Worst movie I've ever seen in my life. I swear to God, worst movie I've ever seen. Walked out about halfway through. Worst movie I've ever seen. Absolute disaster of a movie.
Wow.
Wouldn't watch it right now if you gave me $100. It was so bad.
Every time I tell everybody what the one movie I walked out on, everyone can't believe it.
What is it?
The Pineapple Express. I thought it was so dumb. I thought it was just so dumb.
Worst movie I ever saw that I stayed through was Pulp Fiction.
Oh.
Worst movie I ever saw where I actually stayed through it.
It's like you just stabbed me in the heart and you twisted around the knife.
I literally watched the entire movie not knowing what was going on. Oh. Like, I am not smart enough to start from the end and then go to the beginning. I need chronological order from the beginning to the end. I can't go like beginning to the middle, then back to the beginning, then to the end, and the beginning, and I just can't do it like that.
You got to preface it that it's more of a you problem than a problem with the movie, then.
Oh.
Because Pulp Fiction is held in high esteem.
It is, I just couldn't stand the movie. I love Travolta, I like Travolta.
Like we said yesterday, you just got to come with the it's not you, it's me line.
It's not you, it's
and when it comes to you not liking Pulp Fiction, you just need to say, hey guys, it's not you, it's me.
I didn't understand it. I just didn't understand it.
I don't know how we got off on that topic, but I enjoyed it. Let's tell you what our top story of the day is.
What is our top story of the day?
Going deep. Today's top story, Burns and Gambo.
TikTok. Our top story of the day is the reason why the three amigos, the three musketeers, whatever it is that we're calling them, hopefully not the three blind mice, they're meeting right now. At least there's a picture of them right now. The NFL draft is 27 hours away from right now. We will know.
TikTok, TikTok. Here we go.
TikTok, TikTok. And all of the particulars
are... the final countdown.
It is indeed. It is indeed. All of the particulars are in Nashville right now, including Kyler Murray, who made some minor waves today. I don't know what to look into it. Well, there was a charity event this morning. And all of the draft picks who have been invited to the draft were all there helping out at this charity event, except for Kyler Murray.
He didn't make it.
He was a no-show. Now, come to find out later, he arrived at Nashville on a private plane. Lincoln Riley was with him. His entourage, I guess, was with him. So he's there. He's in Nashville. But he was supposed to be at this charity event, and he was not at the charity event, and he was the only one who was not at the charity event.
Yeah, I guess skipping out on a charity event one day before you're supposed to be drafted is probably not a good idea. It's probably not a good idea. I don't think – listen, charities do so many great things, and we always knock these people for not showing up. I don't know the circumstances as to why he wasn't there and how it didn't happen. I do hope that we hear from him that he feels terrible about it and that – maybe he's going to make a donation or, you know what, time is more important than money for a lot of these charities. That'll donate some time to the event. I do hope that that's the case. I'm trying to find out exactly what the event was. I do hope that he comes out and says why he wasn't there and that he's going to make it up to this charity.
The speculation continues to be obviously heavily that the Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray number one overall. That obviously hasn't been confirmed by anybody at this point, but people are starting to react to things like that. The general manager of the 49ers, John Lynch, who's got the number two pick in this draft, basically said, quote, that he's having nightmares about Kyler Murray in an Arizona Cardinals uniform. Quote, I wouldn't you? When asked if he expects multiple calls if Murray's on the board, he said, there seems to be a ton of interest, and I understand, man. We, a couple of teams, just threw him up in here in the draft room, and it's electric stuff. It really is. Had some nightmares about not me, myself, chasing him, but about us chasing him if he does fall that way. He's pretty special, close quote.
You know, I just wonder if there is an agenda there. Take Murray because I want Bosa. Take Murray. We're going to have nightmares. It's going to keep us up at night. My God, we can't contain that kid. Oh, well, I can't sleep. I'm breaking out in cold sweats because, just a message to the Cardinals. My God, if you drafted him, we're going to go through hell. And I remember when RG3 got drafted by the Redskins, there was a Giants player. Man, I can't remember who it was. But there was a Giants player when the Redskins drafted RG3 who said the same thing. This is going to keep us up at night. I am going to worry about it. Do you remember who it was?
I don't remember who it was, but now that you mention it, I do
Ose
remember
Umanyora,
that.
I think it was
Ose Umanyora.
There was a Giants player that literally was said the same thing. Like, this guy's going to give us nightmares two times a week for the rest of our lives. And I think the 49ers is saying this, I believe this, in hopes that the Cardinals take Murray and they get Bosa. The 49ers just want Bosa. They want Bosa. I mean, everybody knows it. It's the one thing that seems to be a lock in this draft. The Jets want to trade. We don't really know what Oakland's going to do. The 49ers will take Bosa if he's there. I don't think, if you want the biggest shocker in the NFL draft, the 49ers have Bosa on the board and they don't take him. Floored. Shocked. I'll literally drop down. I couldn't believe it. If that happens, that would be insanity.
We're going to be on the air tomorrow. Don't do that. Don't.
I'd be like.
Yeah, no, don't.
Get the blood pressure. Get the blood pressure.
911. Gambo's having a heart attack.
Like, if that is the one thing, you're like, okay, this has to happen. The 49ers will take Bosa. Just run. They'll run to the table, and we want Nick Bosa. So is it an agenda, a message? That's not real because they just want to push the Cardinals to take Murray.
I'm sure they put up the film and I'm sure they were impressed, but I tend to believe that it is one of those sort of false humility sort of deals. Oh man, he's so good. He's awesome. He's the best. Oh, he's just so terrific. While in your mind, you're thinking, please don't take Bosa. Please don't take Bosa. Please don't take Bosa. Please don't. I hear that and I'm sure they think very highly of Kyler Murray. Is it the stuff of nightmares? Are they petrified of the Cardinals? Are they take Kyler
anybody?
Murray?
No,
stop.
I don't think so. I think that you're just kind of pushing the Cardinals a little bit. Just a little push. Hey, from our end, man. Ooh.
Yeah.
Man, we can't cover that guy.
No, I tend to think that's what's going on here, too. As I mentioned, the rumors continue to be very heavy that it's going to be the Cardinals. The odds makers in Vegas. Now, this is somewhat interesting, but then when you hear the explanation, maybe not as interesting. They had listed Kyler Murray to be the number one overall pick, and it was a heavy, heavy, heavy favorite that he was going to be so about a couple of weeks ago. All right. Now it's down significant. It was -1200 in previous weeks at FanDuel's New Jersey Sportsbook, down to about -400. As of this
morning.
Is that
a big drop?
That's a big drop.
All right.
So, for example, because I know you don't gamble, it means...
I bet lunches.
Oh, you do that. Yes. It means in order for me to have won $100 on Kyler Murray being the number one pick, I would have had to bet $1,200 a couple of weeks ago. Now I just have to bet $400.
Doesn't seem worth it to risk $1,200 to win $100.
No, it really doesn't.
Right?
Which is why very few people put a ton of money on those. I mean, it's basically... Yeah. It's like a sure thing.
Okay.
Now, back at the beginning, like right after the scouting combine, I think it was, some sports books had it like -2200, -2400 that the Cardinals were going to take Kyler Murray. So it has really gone down
2200 to 400
substantially over the course of like a month and a half or so. But the guys who run these sports books say, look, this is not like games where we've got models and simulations. We're just kind of basically basing this off of the mock drafts and what the information that is very out there to the public is saying. That's not a lot of people bet on drafts and who's going to go first and who's going to go second. But for what it's worth, the odds have gone down significantly. Does that give us, usually the guys in Vegas are pretty dialed in. Does that give us any cause to believe that maybe Kyler Murray is not the same lock that we thought he was a couple of weeks ago?
I don't know. You tell me. You tell me. You know gambling more than I do. Is this should this be an alarm?
I don't know
the gambling scene. Jordan Scheinman.
Well, I was just going to say.
Here's our expert gambler.
Stop it. Couldn't that just mean that more money is being driven the other way? That's why the line or the odds are being adjusted?
Sure. That people are betting on Bosa. That people are betting on Quinnen Williams. That people are betting
on. Vegas wants to cut their losses, and so they change the odds a whole bunch?
I don't know. Who knows? I tend to believe, look, when Vegas does this with a game, I tend to believe Vegas knows what they're doing. But something like the NFL draft, where even they're admitting they have no inside information, they're basing these off of mock drafts, which is funny because the mock draft tracker that we've been running, it's now almost all exclusively Kyler Murray number one.
Really?
Yeah.
As a story in one of the Patriots websites, NFL draft room, a Patriots source sees Cardinals pick Kyler Murray. So that's coming out of New England because obviously we tie New England to Rosen a little bit, right? So we tie Rosen to New England on a possible trade, but there is a source inside the New England organization that says that, you know, unless they get blown away by a trade offer, they are going to take Kyler Murray. Now, again, nobody knows anything until we hear from the Cardinals.
So we know something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody knows something until we know something. So join us along with Ron Wolfley and Max Starks tomorrow. Our draft party headquarters will be Four Peaks Brewery in Tempe. Our Arizona Sports Draft Extravaganza tomorrow. The party kicks off at 2. That's when we'll be starting our show. We'll take you through the entire first round of the NFL draft. Food and drink specials courtesy of Four Peaks all night, along with your chance to win Cardinals tickets plus autographed Cardinals gear. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for more details. Igor Kokoschkov lasted one season as the head coach for the Phoenix Suns. Was he doomed to fail from the start? We'll talk about that coming up here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Coming up at 2:30 this afternoon, ASU wide receiver and a gentleman who will be drafted at some point on Thursday or Friday, N'Keal Harry will join us here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. That's coming up at 2:30 this afternoon.
Could he be the Cardinals pick at 33?
I'm sure he would like that very, very, very much.
I'm sure he'd rather go in the first round.
probably.
I'm going to ask you, you'd rather go in the first round or go to the Cardinals at 33? I'll go in the first round. It's more money.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
I'll ask him that, but there's no way he's going to say I'd rather go to Cardinals at 33. First round or Cardinals at 33?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So that's coming up at 2:30. Gambo will ask him that hard-hitting question coming up today. You won't want to miss that. But of course, the ASU product has been linked to the Cardinals many, many times in many ways. And we'll see what he has to say about that, including the private workout he had with them. Earlier today, James Jones met with the media in regards to the direction of the Phoenix Suns organization. I'm so used to calling him the interim general manager. It's the general manager of the Phoenix Suns, James Jones, met today and said, look, the decision to fire Igor was a tough one.
The decision I had to make on Monday, you know, was a tough one. Not something I take lightly. Separating from Igor and deciding to take the franchise in a different direction, it was tough. You know, but after evaluating everything, all the different collective factors that I had to consider as we move into the offseason, as we plot a new beginning for the Suns franchise, I just thought it was in the best interest of the franchise to go in a different direction.
And even he admitted that they kind of changed the game on Igor during the season in terms of their focus and how it shifted.
He had a solid relationship with our guys. Like anything, you always want more. I'm pretty sure he can tell you he wanted more. But, you know, the reality is our team, we shifted focus. You know, during his tenure, when he came in, we had Trevor Ariza, Ryan Anderson, you know, Tyson Chandler. We had a veteran team, and you know, you fast forward later, we're a team with four rookies in the rotation, and so it was just a different team for him. I think that he'll tell you though that he enjoyed his time here and that he grew as a coach, and I think the players would tell you that they have a ton of respect for him and what he was able to accomplish last year.
What's your reaction to that?
You know, it's what I said yesterday, that they you know, and I was on Doug and Wolf, and I was on the Bickley and Murata show, and I said that you know, they brought him in to be a tactician and work with veteran players, and it ended up being a young team, and they wanted more of a developer. They want somebody more to develop. So I think that that is true. I mean, because it is what I reported yesterday. I do think that Igor's a very talented coach. I mean, I talked to players throughout the last 24 hours to go over this, with Igor. And Igor, I'll give you the nutshell of what I learned from talking to the players. You can't have a young team and a first-year coach. You can't have both. Can't have a young team. You can have a young team with a veteran coach, or you can have a young coach with a veteran team, but you can't have young and young. Doesn't work. Both are learning on the fly. Doesn't work. Young guys look up to vets. So if you have a young coach with veterans and those vets buy in, to the young guys fall in line. But if it's just young and young, it's just the blind leading the blind. And that's one of the big messages I got in talking to players, was that this scenario doesn't work. A super young team and a young coach who's never been a head coach before at this level. It's got to be a veteran coach with the young guys, or a veteran with a veteran, or a young coach with a veteran team, because those guys can help guide him along and stuff. So this was a bad situation, because it's just that's not the way you're supposed to build a team.
Well, so then, okay, based off of that, I have to assume that the priority is going to be to find, it has to
a
be.
A veteran coach.
Has to be.
This is a player's perspective. I don't know from management's perspective, I don't know if management feels the same way. The feeling is you can't hire another young first-year coach if we're going to be this young. Like, if we're going to be this young, you have to have a veteran coach.
Because that fundamental makeup of the Phoenix Suns is not going to change that drastically next year. Oh, I'm sure they'll go out and get a veteran point guard or a veteran power forward. I'm sure they will make a move to get more veteran-oriented. But no matter what happens this offseason, the core of this basketball team is going to be built around young guys. Booker, Ayton, Bridges, hopefully Oubre when it's all said and done. That's still a very young basketball team, and that to me screams, if these players you're speaking to, if their perspective is spot on, and I believe it is, you have to go get a veteran coach if you're the Suns.
I based on what I'm hearing from players, I agree with that. The problem I heard when you have too many young guys is that instead of rooting for each other, you're competing with each other. So when you've got a veteran who's been in the league for 9 years and he's made $50 million, he's cheering for the young guy to do well. Like, he's not a good, but when you've got young guys all fighting for the same playing time and the same minutes and the same points and stuff like that, like they do with all their wings, it's not healthy. It's not a healthy situation, because too many times they're not rooting for each other because they're competing with each other. Where if you have more of a healthier mix, the young guys are rooting for the veterans are rooting for the young guys, and it becomes a lot more stable of an environment inside.
James Jones today also talked about how the win-loss record, and it was 19 wins, by the way, was not a factor in this decision.
I have a ton of respect for Igor. He's an extraordinary human being, a really good coach. The wins and losses this year, weren't the factor that I really focused on. It was just a collective set of issues that I thought we could improve on.
And he did not want to get into specifically what those collective set of issues were. There were a lot of specifics, frankly, that James Jones wanted to avoid today when he was talking to the media.
I'll touch on some of that, because, again, talking to the players, they did feel that Igor had a really good strength with X's and O's, that he's a brilliant mind. This is the positives, okay? I don't want to go negatives all the time. I will go over the negatives. But the positives were he's a brilliant mind. I mean, his strength was X's and O's. He was as good as anybody after a timeout at drawing up a play that was successful. But he did fall into the assistant role, because that's his comfort level. He was used to playing in the background. Not a confrontational guy, so he didn't really come down on the players a whole lot. But he was very bullheaded with his play calling. With a young team, they want to run. Like, they want to get out and they want to run. They want to use their athleticism and run. And when they're playing teams that are older and back to back, those teams could get tired. But instead, you got to wait around for the play call, because Igor wanted to call every single play. The stretch in which they won 6 out of 10 was the one time this year in which he stopped. He stopped calling every play and just let them play. And that's when they were going out there. They're young. They want to get out. They want to run. They want to get into transition. They want to use their athleticism to run some of these teams out of the building. But he was calling plays on every single play. Now, that's an overseas thing. A lot of the overseas coaches, control freaks, they need to call every single play. And the feeling was that hurt them a whole lot. The only other negative I heard on him, and again, the positives are great X's and O's guys, great after timeouts, brilliant mind, really knew what he was doing in drawing up plays and offenses and stuff. But the players never knew what their roles were. They were never established. It was not like, okay, Josh Jackson, this is your role. This is your role. This is what I need you to do. There were no defined roles for any of the players.
And they were very, I thought Igor was very slow to act in game situations. I mean, if we're harping on some of the negative things here, I thought he was very slow to act on in game situations, very slow to insert Kelly Oubre into the starting lineup. That should have happened 3 weeks before it did, and it made an obvious difference when they did before he got hurt. It's hearing everything come out of what you're saying and hearing what James Jones said today. Boy, I understand they're trying not to pigeonhole themselves into hiring a veteran head coach. I don't know how you can't. I don't know how that cannot be a major priority for the Phoenix Suns this offseason to hire a guy who has done it before. I just don't know how you can say that's not or should not be a priority for this team. James said today it wasn't. James said they'd like to, but if it doesn't work out that way, they want to get the best guy for the job. The best guy for the job, I think, has to be somebody who has experience. Has to be.
I spoke with a coach today who told me that he believes that Monty Williams is extremely interested in this job and that he's going to get it. And he thinks,
okay,
that the Suns may not have even fired Igor without knowing that they were going to be able to get Monty.
Okay, we're going to talk about that in a little bit because yeah. I'm kind of relieved to hear that. We've had a front row seat to his greatness for the last three seasons. Just how much would N'Keal Harry like to stay right here in Arizona? We're going to ask the former ASU Sun Devil and draft prospect. He will join us next on the Burns and Gambo Show. The NFL draft is tomorrow, and the waiting game begins or ends, depending on your perspective, for our next guest joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. He's currently in the Nashville airport on his way home to sit, wait, and watch and see what happens. N'Keal Harry, ASU wide receiver, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show, one day out of the NFL draft. N'Keal, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us so close to the draft. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I thank you for having me.
Well, first off, we're rooting for you, my friend. It was fun to go to those ASU games and watch your career. You are one of the greatest players that ever played wide receiver for the Sun Devils, so we're rooting for you just to be happy and end up in a great spot.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Let me ask you, you had such tremendous success with Todd Graham, 1,142 yards, 8 touchdowns, 82 receptions. What was it like for you when they made the switch from Todd Graham to Herm Edwards?
It was a little bit rough for me at first just because we had just come off a big win. We had just beat U of A, and, you know, Coach Graham got fired the next day. So it was a little bit rough for me at first. But, you know, I trusted in Ray Anderson and you know, the staff up at ASU. I knew they knew what they were doing. So, you know, I just trusted it. I just tried not to overreact and just go with the flow. So, you know, they made a great hire. I knew as soon as they hired Herm that they had made the right decision. So, you know, like I said, I just trusted in them, and you know, they have the right mindset. They know what type of coach they want. So it was a great move.
Did it take a little while to figure out what your role was? Because we would sit there and say, okay, they want to play defense and they want to run the ball. They want to run the ball a lot, but yet you've got this great wide receiver, one of the best in the country, and we wanted to make sure that you were getting 8, 9, 10 shots every single game. And it took a little while for that to really come to fruition. Were you worried about it a little earlier that they were too much run oriented?
No, not really. That has really never been my concern, regardless if we were or not. All I ever wanted to do was win games, and no matter what I had to do that, I would do that, no matter if it was catching a ball or blocking. So, you know, for me, I just would trust in the game plan, regardless if we threw the ball 5 times and ran it 50 times or the other way around. You know, I just trusted it and I just did my part to win the game.
N'Keal Harry, ASU wide receiver, draft prospect, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. The draft begins tomorrow. The second round is on Friday. How many times have you met with the Arizona Cardinals, and what feedback have you gotten each time you've met with the Arizona Cardinals, N'Keal?
I've met with them twice. I actually had I went up to the facility on the local day, and I had a private workout. And, you know, the workout went extremely well. You know, I think I surprised a lot of the you know, higher-ups in the organization. So, you know, I'm pretty confident going into draft day. Obviously, my main goal is to be a first-round pick, to be a first-day pick. But if, for whatever reason, I do end up slipping to the second round, you know, I don't see myself slipping past 33. So if I do slip out the first round, you know, I would be excited to be an Arizona Cardinal, and that's where I would see myself going if I didn't get picked on day one.
Have you been told or given any indication that if you are there at 33 that they will take you?
You know, I can't really say too much, but, you know, just from the workout I had and, you know, like I said, I feel like I really turned some heads in the organization. So for some reason, I do slip out the first round. In my opinion, I think there's no way I fall past 33.
Okay, so without saying you've been promised that you'll take you that they'll take you at 33, you feel really good based on your conversations with them that they would not let you slide past 33.
Correct, and just because of I know what I did during the private workout, I know the kind of performance I put on. So, and I'm from Arizona, so I honestly, I'm about 95% sure if I'm there at 33 and they're still at that pick, they're going to pick me up.
N'Keal Harry, ASU wide receiver, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Specifically, what did you do during that workout that they were surprised by, that they did not see coming, or that they commented to you about that you did that they liked?
Really my quickness. They didn't know how well I can get out of break. And, you know, that's something I've really been working on throughout this whole process. I'm just making sure at the top of my routes I'm crispy and making sure I show that elite athletic ability. So I think that's one thing they were not expecting at all, how quick I was and, you know, how fast I came on my breaks and how precise I was when I was cutting. So I think that was really the deal breaker.
Well, I'm going to get on the phone with Just Sports and order my N'Keal Harry jersey. I know that you're not going to – now that I know you're not going to go past 33. But let's talk about if you do go in the first round. I mean, what teams have shown the most interest? I know the Baltimore Ravens seem to like you a lot. What teams could take you in the first round?
The teams I feel most confident about in the first round would definitely be the Baltimore Ravens. I'm very confident about the Oakland Raiders, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Green Bay Packers at 30. You know, I feel pretty confident about those landing spots. But like I said, if not, I would be more than happy to stay home and be a Cardinal.
Are you the best wide receiver in this draft?
I believe so. I'm just not the type to go around just boasting it and just claiming I'm the best wide receiver. That's just not how I was raised. But I truly do believe I am.
One of the knocks that I've heard in the evaluations is can he get off of press coverage? That's like they love your hands and your speed is fine and your ability to track balls and your ability to run after the catch. But the one thing that I've heard from evaluators is just press coverage. Can he beat press coverage? Is that something that you see yourself having to work a lot on?
Yeah, definitely. But it's definitely not anything I'm worried about. I think a lot of these things that evaluators are forgetting is that problem that you just stated, it's a problem that can be fixed. And it can be fixed with work. And I'm a workhorse, and you know, I'm going to work my tail off to fix that. You know, it's just more about technique, just switching up my releases, not relying on my body and my athleticism so much. So I feel like once I get into the right system and, you know, really sit there and work on that, It'll take my game to a whole new level.
N'Keal Harry, ASU wide receiver, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. The draft is tomorrow. The second round is coming up on Friday. You're not just a garden variety ASU wide receiver. You're obviously one of the best they've ever had, but you're also a local kid in Arizona through and through. What would it mean to you to play for the Cardinals, to play with Larry Fitzgerald, even if it's just for a year? We had him in studio a couple days ago, and he was just raving about you, N'Keal. What would that mean for you?
It would mean the world to me. That was one of the things that I love so much about playing at Arizona State. A lot of the people that have seen me grow, have seen me play throughout the years, can still watch me play. They came to a lot of my games, and they supported me. So it would be huge for me, and especially to play with somebody like Larry Fitzgerald, somebody that I've been looking up to since I was a little kid. And, you know, if I had the chance to play with him, I would just try to soak in as much information as I could in the amount of time I had with him. Obviously he's been doing something right throughout the years. He's been taking care of his body. He's been doing what he needs to do in the community, and he's just been a great role model for all the kids that grew up in Arizona. So it would be a very special moment, and it would mean the world to me if I were to be able to play with him.
A Cliff Kingsbury run air raid offense. How would N'Keal Harry fit in that offense?
I think I could help them in a lot of ways. Whatever they needed me to do. If they needed me to play outside, I would have no problem with that. If they needed me to play inside, go across the middle, be able to catch a ball and take a hit, I would have no problem with that either. I also love to play special teams, so that's another place I see myself helping teams in the NFL. I don't know if it would be on punt return because they got Christian Kirk. But any way I can help out, I want to do that. And I just feel like I can help take the offense to a new level. I'm not saying that I'm the reason we would go to a new level, but I feel like I can be a piece of the puzzle that could help them go to a higher level.
All right, just no throwing passes on trick plays like you did with the game against Stanford, okay?
Yeah, man, that didn't work out too well.
Hey, give me a guess here. I want your guess, not just your guess. Cardinals taking Kyler Murray number one?
I'm not 100% sure, but I mean, I can see it.
Okay. N'Keal, we appreciate the time. Safe travels. Enjoy the draft day tomorrow, Friday, whatever day ends up being your day. Enjoy it. And we really look forward to talking to you sometime, perhaps in the very, very near future. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
You got it. N'Keal Harry joining us in the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, Coulter Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. When we come back, we're going to react for a few minutes to what we just heard N'Keal Harry say. He doesn't think he's getting past the Cardinals in the second round at 33.
Wow.
That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Wow.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
Like, we need a new poll after that N'Keal Harry interview.
No joke.
Sarah Cazell standing by with today's Twitter poll question of the day. The minute he said it, all four of us looked at him. Like, Jordan looked at Sarah, and Sarah looked at Gambo, and Gambo looked at me, and I'm like, is he saying what I think he's saying?
Yeah.
It sure sounds like he's saying what I think he's saying.
Really did.
Doesn't sound like he's getting past the Cardinals at number 33, at least. That's what he seems to believe.
Oh man.
Well, what an interview with N'Keal Harry.
Now I'm going to be so disappointed if he does get past.
Seriously.
At 33, if they don't take N'Keal Harry, you go, why?
Shaking your fists at the sky.
Why? And then he's going to come back to haunt them, and we'll get him in 12 years like we got Terrell Doug.
Exactly. Sarah, what's today's poll question?
All right. Well, hearing that Kyler Murray ditched a pre-draft charity event yesterday, does that change your opinion of the young quarterback in any way, shape, or form? 48% of our voters say, nope, still don't like him. I was surprised to see that.
Oh, no, I didn't like him. I don't like him now.
Yeah,
okay.
Nope and still nope. 32% say, nope, still love him. And then 20% say, yes, that did change my mind. I am now not a fan of his.
The agent came out and said that he was never scheduled to be there in the first place, and the NFL knew it. That he was on the list. I know that. He was on the list, but his agent is claiming he was never scheduled to be there. And I got that off of Kent Summers' Twitter account. So
yep. We never committed to any event today, and the NFL knew.
Yeah. All right, that's the poll question. Ooh. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page.
The responses I'm getting, as I tweeted out what he said, this is all I want to happen. I don't care who the number one pick is. I just want Nikhil to be a Cardinal. I mean, there's a lot of people reacting to this right now. We'll have some great stories up on ArizonaSports.com. And obviously, we'll replay that interview later in the show. And every hour, we will touch on what Nikhil Harry just said. He does not believe that he is getting past the Cardinals at number 33 based on what he has been told.
Obviously, my main goal is to be a first-round pick, to be a first-day pick. But if, for whatever reason, I do end up slipping to the second round, you know, I don't see myself slipping past 33. So if I do slip out the first round, you know, I would be excited to be an Arizona Cardinal, and that's where I would see myself going if I didn't get picked on day one.
All right, so I don't see myself slipping past 33.
Now, you got to understand how sports radio works at that time. In the middle of his sentence, I am literally, with me, there are hand signals going up everywhere between me and Bernsey, like, okay, like, don't change the subject. Stay
of course,
on this.
Of course.
Don't change. Don't ask it. Like, let's stay with
it. It was the most unnecessary hand gesture in the history of hand gestures. I'm like, yeah.
I know, but that's how we work, right?
This demands a follow-up.
Stay with this.
And we got it.
Have you been told or given any indication that if you are there at 33 that they will take you?
You know, I can't really say too much. But, you know, just from the workout I had and, you know, like I said, I feel like I really turned some heads in the organization. So for some reason, I do slip out the first round. In my opinion, I think there's no way I fall past 33.
Follow-up number two.
You feel really good based on your conversations with them that they would not let you slide past 33.
Correct. And just because I know what I did during the private workout, I know the kind of performance I put on. So, and I'm from Arizona, so I'm about 95% sure if I'm there at 33 and they're still at that pick, they're going to pick me up.
Wow. He went there. I can't believe he went there.
Oh, he went there.
For what it's worth, you guys, yeah. I just looked at the Cardinals roster. Nobody listed wearing the number one jersey right now. So if you wanted to just slide right in there, keep his number.
Do he and Kyler Murray need to arm wrestle for it? Didn't Murray wear number one in college,
just,
too?
Just get in touch with
right. him. Yeah. Murray wore number one, too. So
he
it's,
gets the hometown discount.
It's an arm wrestle right there to see who gets it.
I'm going to contact the guys at Just Sports just to see how quickly they can get us a Kyle Murphy Nikhil Harry jersey.
Yeah. Okay. Now that's a bold statement. All right. That's a bold statement. That's a bold statement, Cotton. That is because if it's not true, if there's somebody else on the board at 33 that the Cardinals were not expecting to be there at 33. And they go back on that, right? And look, and we're getting the Keel side of this. We're not going to hear from the Cardinals and get their side on this.
My understanding is that there is no promise made to him that he will be taken at 33.
Okay.
Now, no promise, but maybe very likely if you're there, but no promises. This is what my understanding is, that no promises have been made to him that he's going to be taken to 33.
So kind of like I'm
working the phones right now as we speak.
I can't promise you that you're going to get that real kick-ass video game system for Christmas, but if you're a good boy, you might, sort of thing, right? I'm trying to think. Yes, yeah, you can't, you know, one of those things where you can't, I promise this is, you can't paint yourself into that corner. But you could, if you wanted to,
indicate,
give him assurances that we really, really, really like. Now, from Nikhil's standpoint, and he said it, I'd rather go in the first round than be an Arizona Cardinal.
Yes, I didn't even have to ask him, of course.
Yep,
of
and
course
you were going to ask him that question, and he just brought that up on his own.
Who wouldn't want to go in the first round? There's more money.
He mentioned the Raiders. He mentioned the Ravens. He mentioned the Colts. He mentioned the Packers, and there was one more he mentioned. He was going so fast that I didn't get them all written down.
Who'd you say again?
The Raiders, the Ravens, the Colts, and the Packers. There were five teams, and I wrote four of them down. I can't remember.
I would like to do a poll, Sarah, on how many people think Nikhil Harry will last to pick 33. Because I'm getting a lot of indications on my Twitter feed. He's not going to last that far. He's going to get taken here. He's going to get taken there. No way he lasts that long. there's a lot of people that don't believe that he is even going to make it to the second round. I wonder what the percentage of people is that think he's going to, you know, be available for the Cardinals at 33.
Right, right. And then,
range I'm getting is 25. This is, again, this is inside information, knowledge, that he is going to go somewhere between like 25 and 46.
The Eagles were the fifth team that he mentioned.
Okay.
So the Eagles, the Ravens, the Raiders, the Colts, and the Packers. Jordan, thank you for looking that up. I appreciate it. Now, let's go next level on this question.
Okay.
Do the Cardinals love him so much that they'd be willing to move up a couple of spots to get back into the first round to get him? And it's a speculation question. I'm not expecting you to know the answer to that. I'm just asking it for the thought of speculating on it. Could it be that the Cardinals love him so much that they would be willing to do that to make sure they get N'Keal Harry?
I'll try to find out. I don't know. Why not? I mean, honestly, I mean, sure. I mean, you moved up in the second round and get Buda Baker.
Yep.
You get an extra year. If you love him, you get an extra year. If you're really concerned, you got to look at who the are there any teams that he mentioned that are picking in the final five of the first round?
Give me a minute and I'll take a look.
Because if there are, then, you know, then I might be enticed to do that. I would never say never. I mean, there have been nine deals in 8 years. They did move up to get Buda Baker. If you love the guy, if you love him, set him free. No, if you love him.
do the opposite. Lock him up.
I mean, listen, why not? I mean, we move up four spots from 33 into the first round. You give up a third or, you know, give up a fourth round pick. I mean, I would think about it.
The teams he mentioned,
okay.
The Packers are picking 30th.
Okay. So you'd move up three spots, right? Three?
Yeah, the Colts are picking 26.
So that would be six.
The Eagles are picking 27.
Okay, they're all there.
The Raiders are picking 24th. The Ravens are picking 22nd.
What would you have to give up? You'd probably have to give up your pick and then a third?
Probably.
Would you have to give up a third? The value chart?
Boy.
Would you do it?
Would you give up?
Would you move up five spots and give up a third?
In the third round to get N'Keal Harry?
So basically you're giving up a second rounder and a third rounder if you get a first rounder, though. You got to look at it like that, too. You give it up people like the first rounder, you get the extra year. So you're giving up a second rounder and a third rounder to get a first rounder.
And then the other thing to consider, too, when word gets around that N'Keal Harry said this, and word will get around that N'Keal Harry said this.
Those first-round teams?
Well, suddenly
we can't get him in the middle of the second round.
The Raiders, the Colts, the Packers, the Ravens, and the Eagles might be more compelled to make sure they get N'Keal Harry at the end of the first, knowing that he's not going to get past the Cardinals in the second.
Are you saying I should delete those tweets from the show account? Saying that we don't want anyone to know.
We don't want anyone to know what N'Keal Harry just said on our air.
It's our secret.
He's very quiet.
Delete it. Delete it.
Yeah, quick.
Wait, quick. Hit the dump button. Do we have a 15-minute dump button? It never happened.
With your language, we probably should.
It never happened.
With your language, we probably should have a 15-minute dump button.
It never happened.
Wow,
people out there, hey, everybody out there listening.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
Hush is the word.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell anyone. We're all in this together.
Keep it to yourself.
Don't say a word.
N'Keal Harry feels pretty confident he ain't going to slip past the Cardinals in the second round. But if the Cardinals,
what interview?
But if the Cardinals actually select him, who's going to be throwing him the ball? The latest Josh Rosen rumors next on the Burns and Gambo show.
He's never on.